All right, we'll go ahead and call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order for September 11, 2018 at 7 o'clock. If we'd all rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everybody. We'll go ahead and start with public comment. If anybody has anything that's not on the agenda that they want to make a comment on, please come up to the chair and state your name and where you live and your comment. Okay, seeing none, then we'll move on to the approval of the agenda. Is there anything that anybody needs to add or delete or anything that anybody wants to adopt the consent agenda? Otherwise, I look for a motion to approve the agenda as is.
Move to approve the agenda as is.
So, moved and seconded to approve the agenda. All in favor? Opposed? Agenda is approved. Consent agenda. I look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
So moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Approved. Rebecca? Oh, is she here?
No.
Well, then we'll move on then. Chad, come up and take the hot seat.
Once again, thanks for having me. As you know, we got our inspection completed. I've provided Jeremy with all the photos, inspection report, kind of my overview and recommendations, and I'm sure you all have the opportunity to look at it. I'm just kind of here to answer any questions you might have or go over anything that you might have questions on.
The interior of the roof, did I read your report correctly? That was uncoated.
Well, the reason I put, it's coated now, but years and years ago, they used to use this thing called coal tar, which is no longer used. And they would only paint up to the high water line. They used to leave the insides of those old tanks raw metal because they weren't underwater. They didn't think they needed to. So that's why a lot of these older tanks have seen steel losses over the years. They would just rust and, flake and away it would go. So I'm assuming the reason that your roof thicknesses on the measurements that we took is thin.
Yeah.
You know, there's actual holes rusting through it right now.
Yeah.
And, I took 20 measurements and did an average, and it's about a 16th a little thicker than that right now. But, it's probably thicker in most areas, but that's our average number. If you look at all the numbers we have, and and structurally it's sound. They were up there, there was no, caving in when they were walking on it, but, it's in bad shape.
Yeah. Okay. And then no thickness readings on the shell. Was that just because coatings seemed to be in good enough shape?
The shell is, it's much thicker than the roof.
Okay.
As far as when they build them.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions from the council, or Greg, did you have any questions, or Kurt?
Yeah, I'll come up.
LC? Join me in the hot seat.
I'm Kurt. I've come up and worked with Greg for the past 2 or 3 years, and then water and wastewater for just about 4 years. And I'm by no means an engineer. I'm just a dumb old operator that has some good experience stuff in my control. So I just had, one of those questions just to bring up at the group for Chad, I'm not here to criticize, I'm not here to judge, I just want to put questions out to make sure all the questions are answered on yours and our behalf. Basically, it's a $167,000 capital project with five things.
Yep.
I'm assuming that's a way to get around the legalities of the Minnesota bidding laws. Because if we put out a $167,000 job for a year and get the work done, we'd have to put it out on competitive bids. That's a thought, think of whether competitive bidding will come cheaper in this, I don't know. I guess I'm just gonna kinda jump through it. I did talk to a couple of engineers, because, you know, he had said that the new tower would be about $650,000. And, you know, for instance, Gaylor put one up over there, that was an $800,000 water tower, but I think that was $300,000 or $500,000. Yeah, that's a big tower, he wouldn't be near that, so the price of the engineers threw out, I think it's $500,000, but it's not here or there, but $167,000 is 25 to 30% of the price of the water tower. And that's 105, 107-year-old piece of steel sitting there. And I don't know how many times this is done where they take a tower that's 100-some years old and rehab it and say, you know, they should get well over 50 years out of it, but that means every couple of years it's going to be cleaned and there's going to be...
Well, that's on any tower. I mean, you got to maintain it, because if you don't, then you end up using it.
But is it going to be more on a structure of this size with steel that's, or a structure of this age with the steel at that? So we're realizing you're going to be replacing the roof.
Mm-hmm. That's the plan.
Yep. Talked about the riser and the legs and the structural members, and you showed some pictures of the coating and the rust and stuff. You talked about a good candidate for power washing and overcoating.
Mm-hmm.
So if that paint has any lead, either in paint or primer, does that have to be contained? And if
no.
So, it doesn't have to.
The reason it does is because you're not atomizing the paint. You're not turning it into dust. You know? Unless you're down, you know, and then obviously you lay down tarps. And then if you're not down there eating it, you should be pretty good.
So then there isn't any hidden cost here that may appear afterwards to clean up the lead abatement.
We have, I want to say hundreds of these tiles that we deal with. And it's old, there's no doubt. I mean, we've had this, you know, we had this discussion at the last meeting. And, you know, it's a tower's in good shape. Granted, the roof's in bad shape, but like, when they built these things, they're way overbuilt, massively overbuilt. So there's a lot of life left in it. You know, it's just all about, you know, money, basically, at this point. You know, that's the way I understood it last time. And do you guys need to build a new tower? Is there a reason to do that?
When you talk about the expansion drain at the belly of the tank and the clean-out plug is broken, I know when Greg was shutting the water off, he pretty much stood down there in a sprinkle of mud and stuff. Is the intention to fix and repair that and pipe it over to the drain on the lake?
Yep, for the overflow, yep.
And that's included
yes,
in the,
yes.
And then the overflow itself.
Bring it all into ocean, everything.
Yeah.
You know, and that helps just because of sanitary issues and also having there to pipe it over and away from the leg of the tank. You know, you can see on there how it runs right onto the foundation, which is not good.
The overflow that's on there isn't an overflow. It used to be filled many years ago when the water used to come in over.
Overhead fill?
Yes. So actually, when that tower overflows, it doesn't even get up as high as the so-called overflow. It just comes out over. So are you going to be changing the elevation where that overflow will actually?
We can absolutely. You know, I don't know if I addressed that in there, but the nice part is with a new roof, it gets seal welded all the way around. So you can change the high water.
And again, I'm not trying to second guess you. I just want to make sure if this is a $167,000 project, that at the end of year five, we have $167,000 bill with no add-ons and no change orders.
Sure.
Because that's really what it comes down to, is looking at that $167,000 versus the price of a new tower and what do we have with our old tower.
Well, the cost for service is what it is. You sign on the dotted line, it's that number. No,
but
more than
everything else is included. Everything that is in the recommendations is included.
Everything's in there.
Yep.
And then the scope of work kind of spelled it out year by year.
Yep. Yep. I went through that. When you talk about the corrosion at the roof clip bolts, so all of that just is cleaned up and reprimed and.
No, that's all gone.
That'll all be gone. Who knows what's holding the roof on right now?
Yep. Those roof. That's what holds.
Yeah. Right.
And then that's of eve. Yep.
Okay.
That'll all come out, that overhead fill dispersion.
Overhead fill dispersion is going to come out. What he's talking on, what I show, page 9. The water used to pump out of the old pump house and pump up, and it used to go on this dispersion plate, and it kind of dispersed over the top of the water tower. And now the water tower is actually filled through the bottom where it used to fill on the outside through there.
And
so that's going to all be removed.
Yep.
the hatch, all the OSHA stuff, that's gonna all be replaced.
Well, we put them in the new roof before it goes up, yep.
And you talked about all the ladders and all the framing.
Do you guys know how that happened? The damage?
Didn't you say that, Vegas said one time how that got all bent up there?
Yeah, it's missing like three rungs up there. Yeah, it's what page is that? It's on the, yeah, I guess they're not numbered, but you look through and yeah, it's pretty beat. Yeah, right there, yep, yep.
You talked about for us non-engineers, we talked about good, fair, and poor. So when you talked about the foundations being in fair condition, does that mean that they're?
If you visually look at them, you know, there's some cracks and stuff. Normal concrete issues, I've seen much worse. And it all depends on how far down they go. I mean, those things are probably 6 foot. You know, it could be 8 foot, depending on the geo when they did the construction.
So it's nothing of concern to you guys at this point?
No, if it was, it would definitely be stressed.
The riser pipe, the center fill pipe, covered with galvanized and there's insulation. So there's no intention of taking any of that off and doing any kind of inspection on that center fill pipe?
There's really no inspection to do. I mean, you look at the outside of the pipe, and a matter of fact, we're in Lafayette right now changing one out. And it's an old cast pipe. And basically with those, they're either leaking or they're not.
Yeah.
If they're leaking, you replace them. If they're not,
they start leaking in the middle of winter, and then a $30,000 or $50,000 job turns into $100,000 or $100,000.
No. It's, I mean, to replace a full fill pipe and hammer it was, I believe it was 42 with insulation.
But you don't think that's a anything?
You know, you can look at it and just go, okay, well, it's rusty, but they're all rusty, you know, because they're not coated. They've never been coated. But you know, that's one of those things that, you know.
So then everything on the last page, the recommendations, all of that, all those recommendations are included in the bid price, okay? Clean out plug, we talked about that. A lot of red marks.
Yeah, I was gonna say, geez,
just
like a teacher.
That's
your veil.
No, that's not my intention. I know. You're not going to be doing any blasting on the outside, but you're going to be doing blasting on the inside. I was involved in another community where after the blasting, they ended up welding about 5,000 rivets all the way around and welding the joints.
Well, in the pictures, if you look at them, I don't see any corrosion around the rivets and the joints. If there was issues there, you'd see them. I mean, because those are the hardest parts to coat.
So
that's the first thing.
So I'm going to hit you with a hard one. So then the city shouldn't expect any $30,000 changeover in the welding because they have inset joints. And
I like your numbers. I don't know where you're getting them, but they're nice.
I mean, this happened in another community. There was thousands of rivets that they had to weld all the way around inside, and then all the joints they had to re-weld because when they were done sandblasting, everything was leaking. And well, that's a big changeover that takes a $167,000 project, bumps it up to $200,000,
sure.
And then we're 40% price of the new car.
Sounds like you want a new tower.
No, I don't want a new tower. I want what's best for the city.
Sure, absolutely.
And I don't want them to have to write a check out bigger than $167,000.
I absolutely understand.
My question is too, you say this would be good for another 50 years or so. You know, Hamburg does start to grow, and you know, whether or not they do or not, whether 212 turns into a 4-lane or not right now, if you have a 50,000 gallon tower, Minnesota Department of Health wants you to have 2.5 times storage in case of some kind of a problem or something. We get around that now because we have a generator in there, but if we grow and say in 15 years we need a bigger tower, here we got it. That's what I'm looking at too. And at that time too, if we grow, we're going to have to grow with sewer and everything else. And I don't know. I know we did have some welding done on the top, and nobody wants to work on a over 100-year-old tower. So.
But we build them, so there's no reason we can't. There's nothing to that tower we can't replace.
I've just, and I don't know how long you've been in the business. I've been in the business from an operator side for 40 years, and I have never, ever seen or heard of them been involved on the tower of the safe. And maybe I've been on the wrong project.
There's thousands of them out there. They're everywhere.
Well, I know they're out there, but just sticking this kind of money into the tower.
One of the last comments I have is, let's say the work you have on year 2019, what kind of a construction are you talking? 7 days, 9 days, 14 days?
You're probably looking at, I was thinking about this noise here, you're probably looking at 3 weeks.
And this isn't his fault. The water plant now runs about 30, 50,000 gallons a day. It backwashes about once a week and it runs just fine. When the water tower isn't there, that provides water for the city. When the water tower isn't there, and this is typical in a lot of towns, the water plant has to be turned on hand. It runs 1,440 minutes a day for 21 days. After a day and a half of, not even a day and a half, 18 hours of you running it the other day for their inspection, the water plant, there's a drawdown gauge that shows the plugging up of the water plant. Zero is good. 9 is bad. 10 is bad. It means it's plugging up. It went from 0 to 4 after 18 hours. Now we're talking about running 3 weeks straight. That water plant will plug up, and the water plant cannot be brought back to life and backwashed without a water tower. Because the water tower, reversing the water from the water tower, is the water that we use to backwash the plant. So from an operational standpoint, we're gonna need an option, because that water plant won't go 3 weeks running straight without plugging it up. I was hoping you'd say 7 days, and then Greg and I were going to go like this next week.
Well, just the curing process on the interior coating.
No, I understand.
7 days. I mean, you know, if you introduce water sooner than you should, you have blistering, and then you're telling me why the paint fall off.
Yeah. No, the time it's going to take is the time it's going to take. Sure. I'm just saying what kind of a dilemma it's going to put the city in and the operations in. You're going to say, I'm going to try and sell a new tower again. But if they're going to put a new tower up, they're more than likely going to put it at another site, and they're going to keep the old one in service while they build the new one.
Now that you bring that up, Kurt, a thing I would have, because even when we do a new tower, you know, I'm getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here. Even when we do a new tower, after about 10 years, we're going to have to, you know, 20, I don't know what the
new tower
length.
13 to 18 years, probably the first time we would take it down and do some.
No, I mean, well, that's, when you buy a new car, you wash it, right? I mean, you have to inspect them.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the year.
No, as far as taking it down and doing work, yeah, you know, it could be 20 years. It all depends on who painted it, who built it. I mean, you know, just like anything else.
But, you know, say we do a new tower, that's something I think we should look at in our plans. You know, so 15 years down the road, how do we keep that plant going while we're sitting here when that new tower is getting done too? So that's, I just kind of made note of that, and that's something we may want to look at.
You understand the way
whichever way we go.
Works in town. When we open a faucet, that water up in the air wants to come down because of gravity. So if the town is using 100 gallons a minute and the water plant's running, 50 gallons a minute reverses up into the water tower until the water tower is full, and then the water tower shuts off. And then as people use water, water comes back out of the water tower and starts the process. So when the Miller's son comes over here and fills a water truck, they draw 500 gallons a minute. 500 gallons a minute comes out, either from the water tower or a combination of both. When the water tower is out of service, we start up the water plant, and it runs 147 gallons a minute right now. That is all it puts up. If William Miller's and son would come over and grab water, or a firefighter would accidentally forget that when there's a fire, you can't touch the fire hydrants in town, that 150 gallons a minute would be used up like that, and the town would be out of water. Then everybody's toilet's calling for water, everybody's sink's calling for water, the washer, and then the little water plant's got to try to come back up. That's why a water tower is so important. That's your reserve for a shock loads. So as important it is to plan on how you're going to pay for whatever way you go, somehow we're going to have to plan on what we're going to do for 3 weeks. And right now, after almost 40 years of experience, you got me stumped.
Well, you can rent a pressure tank, which a lot of cities do in this instance. You know, they're obviously not, you know, they're 30, 40,000 gallon. It's like a semi-truck with a VFD on it, a variable flow that fills, you know, on-demand type thing, and that's really, if you have those kind of issues that you're saying, and that's the only real viable option.
Yeah. It'd be like the pressure tank that a farmhouse has where there's partial water and a partial air bladder, and the water plant keeps that full, and then when the water plant shuts down, that helps relieve the water. You'd have to have the engineer do some...
It's basically a portable water tower.
Yeah.
Period. That's pumped.
Compared to a 50,000 gallon, you're probably going to have a 8 or 10,000 gallon.
Yeah, they're all different sizes. I mean, it all depends on need.
Well, that'll be another cost that's going to have to be evaluated, and the engineer's going to have to try and put some design numbers in there, and that cost will have to be tied into the rehab cost also. There.
All right. So, Chad, just you need a job?
Chad, go back to one of Kurt's earlier questions. So you get in there, and you blast it, and take care of it, and we do have rivets that pop out.
I've never seen it happen, so I don't know.
They don't pop out, just get loose because I think one of you guys is a metallurgist.
Yeah, my concern is anytime you do welding, there's going to be some distortion of that metal.
Sure.
Riveted tank.
They get loose and they leak.
Yeah, yep. And once you start doing one, the ones...
I've never seen one loosen, ever.
But say that one does loosen, and we're the first time that you get to see it. And they're in this bid, in this process, we wouldn't be on the hook for anything, right?
Actually, there's no repair work in here other than what's in it. That's why, it's a contract for services, like we said before. You would worry about extra cost. Well, it's a two-sided, sword. What's in here is what's in here. There's no, just like I wouldn't drop on extra cost on you, and, you wouldn't expect us to absorb something that's not in here as well.
That's what I was trying to get you to say, and that's the question I was trying to get you guys to ask. This is what it is, and no more.
Yeah. It's a contract for service.
If you can say what's going to be the welding fee for a linear foot of steel up there, and we project there's going to be 120 linear feet of potential welding, you can run through the math and say, we need to be prepared for a possible X thousands amount of dollars in case it happens. Because if it does happen, that's an extra. I don't know what other structural thing you can run into that's not included here.
Corrosion is your only issue here. I mean, structure of that thing is the tank. I mean, you know it as well as I do. You've been doing this that long. So structurally, it's a tank. The roof is not good. And obviously, you got to keep your coatings up, but I didn't see any indication of any of that going on in there. But like you said, things happen. I can't predict the future.
And welding would add on to that for sure. That's all that I wanted to do was try to get all the numbers and all the true numbers and numbers that aren't in here that possibly could come up to get in our back of mind, so we know whether that 167,000 is locked, or if there's a good or fair or not very good potential for it to climb up.
No, I think the council appreciates you helping.
I do too. I agree. Yeah.
Because other than Councilman Tracy, I don't think any of us have any expertise in this area.
I was in Arlington when they had that. Remember the old water tower similar to this, but it was 100,000 gallons and it had an 8-foot diameter riser. They welded for 4.5 weeks. Every single rivet up and down the riser pipe and on the top, every one and every judgment side. And it was an engineer-controlled project. It wasn't something that we asked for, and it wasn't something that the contractor said, you got to do because we got to fill our pockets up. It was an engineering requirement. And they welded, and you could just watch in that tank, and you could see where they were welding, because you could see the burn parts, and you could see the steel distortion. And, but every single weld.
How big a tank was it?
That was 100,000 gallon.
Is that maybe a drum? I would have said take the drum out and just put a fill pipe in.
And I think it eventually it had a small pipe, and at one time I guess they put the big 6 or 8 foot riser.
So they added to it for more capacity.
Okay. Just to go over that backwash, normally we run through about 250,000 gallons every 7 days between backwashing. Facility works very good. If we ran 24 hours straight, we'd be running 216,000 gallons through a 24-hour period. Same amount almost as what we normally run through in 5 days. If we would run out 7 days, we'd be at 1.5 million So it's where our numbers are coming from, and we're trying to say, okay, how can we keep this thing running?
Plus, you also have to watch your numbers for DNR reporting.
Yeah. In Arlington, when we ran into the situation with one tower, we were lucky we had two water plants. We ran one until it was completely plugged up, and then we had two guys in the middle of the night. One shut the old one off, one shut the other one back on, and we dropped the pressure. It took us an hour to get it back up in the community in the middle of the night, so we could switch over to another water plant. And we ran that one until it was just about plugged up to where the tower company said, okay, you can start your fill. Then we had to fill it and get water so that we could backwash it. I've seen it happen, and I'm mad. It's not that fun. So we would have to work with the engineer and maybe think of an external pressure tank or some other temporary storage tank during the process, because I was hoping he'd say 7 days and we'd worry, but 3 weeks for it, it would be bad. We can just watch on the drawdown gauge what the pressure of the water coming is and what it's leaving. And as it plugs up, you can just see the pressure gauges go like that. Thank you.
And thanks, Kurt. It's basically all work, let me do the math. So the roof's about a 6 day job, and it would need to be, well, it doesn't necessarily be empty then, but it would be welded, drop and stuff in it. You know, then you could go back online. I mean, there's things you can do, but yeah, I mean, if you guys have issues like that in your pump wells, those are things you definitely gotta look at, for sure.
Are you saying a 3 week period, you could break it out? Over a
yeah, you could break it up, and I mean, we could come in, do the roof, you know, you guys go back online, you get to go, and then prepare for, because like an interior, no matter what, an interior sandblasting thing is going to be 12 to 14 days with curing. It takes about seven days to do the job, and then the paint just has to cure. And it also has to cure when you paint the outside, because condensation comes out under the new paint, pop it as well. So, but I think I have the exterior to be done first, and then the interior to be done in 20. So, if we do the roof and the exterior, but you know,
21.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about too. Because, yeah, we can do the roof. Because basically what we do is we build the roof on the ground. We pull it up. You know, it comes in flat. Pull it up. Weld the conical. Put all the purposes in it. The ladder. Safety line and everything. Then they go up, pick the old one off, put the new one on. And, you know, you're talking, it'd be empty for a couple days then. Get the new roof on. And then we go and do the outside. And you have your power washing and all that. But when you go to put primer on, you got to have it empty. So you're looking at, you know, the exterior would be probably five to seven days. So the roof, all the OSHA upgrades and the outside can be done within your limits. You know, we have to be vigilant. But the interior, that's going to be where your issues are. But you have a couple years to figure it out. You know, we could get, you know, there's a lot of places around to rent those in a lot, but you know, dozen places to rent pressure tanks. Doable. It's just a little more work.
What life expectancy do you expect to get out of with painting the tower? My concern is you got 100 years of paint on that tower. I mean, I've seen it that paint don't last but 2-3 years, well, and it starts to go south.
Yeah, the silver paint, and if you look in the scope, what I planned to do on there is paint the shell of it, which is the worst of it. I think that's where your biggest issues are with it's an elastomeric based paint, and it'd be a full prime, because what it is that aluminum is a self-sloughing paint, and it goes on to 1.5 mils thick, where urethane goes on at 5 to 7 mils, and then you're adding, you know, your primers and stuff. So if like a new water tower, when it's done getting painted, it's probably got 15 mils of paint on it. When you do these tanks, it's a Sherwin-Williams product, and basically it's like bottom paint on a boat. It's made to fall off over time, because when you come back to paint it, because when it gets UV broken down, it falls off. And then when you come back, the power wash, a lot of it comes off, and you're back to where you were before you painted the first time, in theory. So, I mean, and your shell is probably where the thickest paint is, because you're right there painting it. So that's probably why we're having the issues on there we are now. So I mean, my proposal is to take as much of that off, put on, it's called the Series 118, put that on, it's like putting a rubber band around it. And then you can put urethane on it, you can put acrylic on it, you can put anything on it. Where on this, you can't put acrylic because it's an oil-based paint. So you can change the color of the shell and roof under this, you know, under this scope of work that I have. So that all that stuff on the shell, which is, because the belly looks amazingly good. I mean, usually the belly is what looks like hell, but the shell's, you know, in rough shape, and then, you know, they change the logo, but, you know, things to think about, you know.
Also, any other questions?
You said the belly is spared for. Oh, you just got done saying it's good.
Well, I just drove by it.
Okay.
I just drove by it, and I was like, wow.
To follow up with a question that Jeremy just had, why do we see towns blasting their towers? Is there a complete failure? And no, we have a 100-year-old tower and we're not even considered blasting.
We talked about blasting, but this was a money issue at the meeting you weren't at before. We talked about it. We knew that they wanted to get a plan together to get through 10 or 15 years. We talked about my first plan, and then we decided to get an inspection, get all the pictures, get everything, to come back and revisit it.
I'm not saying I want it blasted. I just want to make sure we don't go and do all kinds of work on this thing.
Sure.
And still end up with an old paint job and start sloughing
off. Well, we can surely blast it.
That's what I'm asking.
We can surely do it, but, you know, it was a money issue in the beginning and a time issue, because I know there's been talk about a new tank, and, you know, to get through 10, 15 years was basically, I think, what we're talking about, you know, for the renovations that I was talking about in the beginning.
So then, follow up on that. I'm sorry to say that. So we're going to put $167,000 into this for 12
10,
years.
10, 15
no, that's
years.
That's not what I said. That was our first conversation at the meeting or not.
I should have come to that meeting.
Yeah,
you should. I can sense
you're saving me a lot of time. So I run my wavelength. But yeah, so, but with all this stuff, getting your OSHAs up there and your AWWAs and all that stuff, you know, this is a, you can bring the tank back to life if you want to. Or you can build a new tank. There's your options. You know, and I'm here to help with these problems.
Is there a point after we put this $160,000 into that tower that we're at a point of no return? I mean, it's a question that needs to be posed. Once we get $100,000 in there, are we going to ever consider a tower? Are we going to run this thing out 150 years, 200 years?
That's a question for y'all. I don't know. Oh, I mean, this thing will last. You know it'll last.
Well, I'm not confident, but I'm a specialist in that.
Oh, sorry. Well, can you have two towers?
Why?
Sure.
Yeah.
So, I don't feel good after 15 years and want to build a new one.
That thing will be around a lot longer than will be around if you leave it there.
You sure. Are two towers off your lot. Mm-hmm. Offer you a lot of flexibility. Of course, you've got more maintenance costs. Yeah. It gives you a lot of flexibility. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I'm just with Kurt. That's my concern is, I mean, if we're talking $167,000 for the next 10, 15 years, then what's the next 10, 15 years? How much is that? You know, I mean, are we going to be, you know, 15, 20 years into this tower? Are we going to be $300,000?
Well,
$350,000?
It's like putting our new shoe strings in our old shoes. You got new shoe strings, but you still got to put our old shoes. Right?
Well, it's an old tank. I mean, it's an old tank. And from what I see, you have paint issues, you have OSHA and AWWA issues as far as upgrades, and your roof is bad. Okay? All things that can be fixed. You know, I laid the plan out. And, you know, 10 to 15 years, you'll probably have to paint the outside again. You know, obviously, you know, like you said, the paint that, you know, it's made to fall off and it's just normal maintenance. But as far as the steel and the ladder and all that stuff, it's going to be around a lot longer than all of us are, for sure. No doubt about it. Because the roof's going to be brand new. It's already 100 years old. You know, put a new roof on it. That's a new shoe, for sure. You know? So, there's a lot of things I just have to figure out what you guys want to do as a community, you know. And this, This is a good way to keep it and keep it alive for, you know, longer than 10 to 15 years for sure. But normal maintenance is normal maintenance, you know. So.
I guess my other thing, like you see on the picture here, where you got rust.
Yep.
Can you kind of walk the council through how, you know, you'd be taking the paint off and, you know, washing and, I mean, because we're not talking about blasting, but, you know, I'm worried about getting all the rust removal. Mm-hmm. I mean, because if you don't, it's just going to come right back.
Well, this is the area I was talking about with that Series 118. You go and you aggressively power wash it, and then you do a rust inhibitive primer, okay? And then you put the 118 on it, and then you can put any paint on it you want. But by taking all this off and doing the, you know, the priming and that 118 is also a primer, you know, like I said, it's like putting a rubber band around it basically. And then you put your finish coat of whatever color or kind you want. And it's
kind of in our business, though, rubber band's a bad word.
But you know, it just kind of, like if you put it around your wrist, you know, it's, when it dries, it draws down, and it's, you know, it's a well-tested paint. It's anemic, and we use a lot on, and it's made specifically for issues like this, you know.
With all blasting, and I'm not proposing blasting, we went through that place, right? And you go through this with that high-pressure blast wash. Mm-hmm. You remove all of the loose material, but you still have the rust behind, so then you're depending upon your primer, however it reacts with the rust, and it's going to adhere.
Yes.
That's the idea of it?
Yes. Yep.
If you power wash it, you scrape it or anything?
Yeah, you do all your loose edges. You go around your hands, so yep.
You know, rust will
happen. Yep. So. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, on the shell, I mean, you're looking at 2 days of just prep work, just in the shell for sure, to get it to where it needs to be.
Any other questions, Council? No. Staff, anything?
That's all I got.
And if you have any, you know, let me know. You got me email, I can always come back or whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't want you to drag this off, but maybe an option is to talk to your engineer, because I think they're the engineer in Gaylord, and they just got done putting up, and here it sounds like a new tower again. They got done putting up another new tower, I think for Greasley, because they got large industry in town, but at the same time they tore an old one down, and maybe he's got some insight into why didn't they tear their old one down? Why didn't they rebuild it?
Well, if it's industry, they probably need more capacity.
Yeah, capacity. That's what I think it was.
Sure.
Maybe he's...
I think we did own that tower, actually.
Did you?
I think we did.
Probably 2-3 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, I know we did. Stand?
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe you should know how much it costs. I heard about 8 or 8,000.
I'm in the rehab side.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right, well, if no other questions from Council. Appreciate the information.
Absolutely.
Mull it over.
Like
we have
maybe. Yeah, any questions, let me know. I mean, I'd be more than happy to answer them and come back and whatever we got to do.
Definitely.
You know, even if you wanted to, you know, break it up and you know, if you're looking for 15 years, you know, that roof, something needs to be done with it because you're getting rainwater in through the holes and, you know, those things that should be addressed for sure. And, you know, the patchable, it wouldn't be pretty, but it'd be fixed, you know. You put the patch on the inside and then seal weld around the out, you know, depending on how bad it burns back, you know.
One last thing before this roll. You mentioned in a previous meeting that we had talked about if, let's say, we do get a new tower, that the contract would be flipped to the new tower.
Yes,
talk the council
part of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I don't think the council is aware of that.
Yeah, basically, if you know, I had a, you know, just a maintenance, I think it was a maintenance program service to do, just come in and clean these every couple of years. And if you did get a new tower, we just transfer that same number and everything to the new tower, you know, the contract number and all that. So you'd have your, you know, your same locked in price. So yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it. Have a nice day.
You too.
You're
going
to follow me outside and bust my butt.
Follow outside and bust my butt. Thanks, Kurt.
You got it. You didn't want to start.
All right, we'll move on then and move on to Lois Draghi, Jersey project.
All right, so just give you an update on that. I got George Hoff, an attorney working on creating the developer's agreement. One of the few things yet we need to iron out is permitting fees. So in your packet, there'll be a page in there that from Justin Black with SEH that will lay out the permit fees there. So what we need to do is agree upon that so we can have that written into the developer's agreement. The water and sewer, most likely, in talking with Justin, that we would pay that. The biggest one is the stormwater fee for the county, which is $1,500. And as you can see from the state agencies, I think the most expensive one's $500. But Lois would be in agreement that if we would pay the other permit, she would pay half of that stormwater permit. You know, like I said, here we are again discussing fees and laying things out, but this is an item that we kind of need to finalize up for the development agreement. And also, in order for anything to take place, all these permits need to be sent in and received back from the appropriate agencies.
None of these have been sent in, have they?
They're ready to go, though.
Yeah.
All of the council's thoughts.
She's willing to pay half of what? The most expensive one?
Yep.
And we'd have to be, we'd be on the bill for the rest?
Yep.
So it comes out to,
roughly, yeah.
With those paying half of the 1,500.
Correct, the stormwater, yeah, the county permit.
Well, if we were going to do the storm, if we were going to do the sanitary, you know, we still have to. We still have to go through the same process, won't we?
Correct.
The permits. So
that's correct.
The penny is, we have that anyways.
It's our bill anyway.
Yeah.
Because if we were going to loop the water, we still have to get the permit for the
looping
water main extension and permit.
Do you look at this for guidance?
Yeah, I guess I've never dealt with this. Is that? Being generous. Are we being generous? Can't say I've ever dealt with this.
You know, we haven't done a pond for development, so that's kind of new territory from a city standpoint. Then typically, you know, typically, to be honest, in talking with the lawyer, typically the developer picks up all the fees. They're the ones that want to develop. They typically pick up all the fees. I mean, one thing to consider and look at is, like we said, Lois is donating that land to the city of Hamburg.
It's not like she's leaving the same. She's giving us a lot to the. She's paying for the most important part. She's paying for what's going to cost the most with the water main moving, sanitary. And the road, curb and gutter. Actually, it's a small part to pay for what the city is getting back. I know we've never done it before, like Jeremy said, the developer usually does do that. But do we wash what she's given us already and what she's doing versus paying for the fees?
As Jeremy said just a second ago, if we were to loop that project and put the road in and all that and finish the project down there, we would have to pay all of these fees ourselves.
Yeah. I guess I'm good with that.
So do you, you just want guidance, go ahead and move forward with that?
Yeah, I don't think at this time we need a motion, because it'll be written out in the developer's agreement, and then it'll all be proven at once. So just kind of the guidance right now to get the.
I think it's a fair trade. I mean, we're getting a lot from her, and we're giving back something, but we're giving the new man, we just can't keep hammering her either. I mean, I know it's for her, it's something she wants real bad, but these permits we have to buy, or we have to pay for, if we don't want to do this project ourselves anyway, so.
So council in agreement that then the city be picking up all permit costs?
With Lowell's paying half of the, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any objections from the council? Okay, let's go ahead and move forward with that.
Okay.
Anything else other than that? There was nothing that you...
Nope, that's it. Hoping for the October meeting to have the developer's agreement. So,
did she give you anything? Does she want to put the street in that in yet?
Not the street, but it sounded like she kind of maybe wanted to do some removal of trees and shaping and, you know, kind of prep work, so to say, versus anything.
It sounded from, you know, who.
Yeah.
That we're probably going to do that pond yet this fall.
Yeah.
Some of the other,
but I think the streets and all that and utility that she was going to wait till.
Then we'll move on to Triple T Services and the city survey city portion.
Okay, so just to give you an update where we are here with the Triple T property. So I've talked to Quinn, our city attorney, and he's working with Carver County and getting that deed squared out to make sure everything's kosher there. Last I talked to Quinn, the county was going to come out and look at surveying that part of the parcel. So I don't see the need for us to do it if the county's going to come out and do that. So we can kind of hold off on that. The other thing Quinn's looking into is to see is in your packet there's and this goes back to, you know, over 10 years when we made that agreement. So them fees in there in that master agreement schedule with Minnesota Valley Regional Rail, you know, that's old, because now we're paying about $800 a year for our easements. In looking at that, one of the things we're looking at is there is a license agreement. There's no easement, but we think there's a license agreement that the city got with the railroad to put that storm tile in. So one of the things I've talked to Quinn about, what's the legality of that on a transfer? So he's looking into that. So we're kind of working with the railroad right now to see if we can find that old lease, see exact, he needs to know. So can't really give you any answers tonight, unfortunately, because he's still looking into that lease agreement or that license agreement.
And after I talked to you Saturday, I just did a quick check to drive them around and looking at the maps here, I don't believe that over the years, the last 40 years that I've been in town, that we've added any crossings under the track.
No.
And they've got the poles and the anchors and everything. I went and checked and everything is still there. So as far as they asking there, if they don't hear back from us, they'll assume that this is up to snuff. So I assume that we are up to snuff according to what we're paying for.
I'm hoping so. You know, one of the Quinns needed to look at was the legality of the wording of that. Hopefully they have that license agreement yet. He needs to look at the wording of that, because that'll kind of be able to tell him how it transfers, because that's a great question here now. You know, if we had that license agreement, now does that transfer with a sale of property?
Because I think the map that goes to the north, that's not on railroad property, is it?
Which one?
The one that goes to the north from Orv, from John Trivish down there?
I don't believe so. Because we never had to deal with them when we...
I think
we moved that, so that's off the railroad. Yeah.
Yeah. That might even be something that might even be on Lois's, huh? George's?
Very possible, yes. And that was one of the things when we did developers agreement, that we cover all easements.
Cover all easements.
Yes. including access to the pond. You know, because if we just get land, we also want an easement around that pond. So if we have...
If we have to get in to clean it up.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Yep. So other than that, unfortunately, that's all I have to update the council and the public on.
Any questions from the council? Okay. Move on to old city business. Drinking water revolving fund 2019.
Okay, so right now that's in the review process till September 22nd for the intended use. Once the intended use plan, which basically what the intended use plan is, lays out all the projects that are eligible for funding. So anything that's scored 7 points and above is eligible for funding in 2019. And our two projects were, you know, 10 and 12. So we were good. So once that's done, then the deadline to submit a loan application is March 21st. And if we were going to look at going that route, probably by next council meeting, we'd have to get going on that, just because we'd have to have plans put together to be able to submit along with that loan application, which I talked to our engineers and they said at a minimum, you know, 2 months they would need for that process. And basically right now, all we've qualified for is a low interest rate loan. I am trying to look for options and ways of, you know, any possible grant monies or principal forgiveness or any other type programs that are out there. So I'll be working directly with SEH, our engineer, and Becca Sabe with the PFA at looking at those options, see if there's anything where we can find some possible grant assistance. But otherwise, we're looking at, right now, she said about 1.5% to 2% interest rate. So that's kind of where we are, to give you an update on the tower, on the intended use plan.
And if we did go with it and we move forward with the project and that at, say, 2% interest rate, that's about $73,000 over 20 years each year. So that would be what we'd have to account for in setting the next budget potentially. So that we would have our payments. But there are a number of grant opportunities out there, at least at the platform, which could defray the costs and more.
So we're looking at that total of $500,000 or $600,000?
I think they had, you know, engineers always a high. I think they had figured $800,000 for the tower. But I think, I've talked to Kurt and a few others, that and you're looking at 5 to 6 probably.
$100,000
That's 50. And one of the things I talked to him about today was too, looking at, because my concern is we submitted it at 50, can we change it? So I got to check with PFA on that also. So that's one of my other things.
Any other questions about that? Okay. Ship funding?
Just once again, any other great ideas or anything other than what we've, you know, talked about or discussed in the past. Deadline's coming up here quickly. Got to October 15th to submit something. So by next meeting, we'd have to make a decision on what we would like to put in for. And also just a quick reminder, what that has to be is something that promotes activity, wellness, fitness. You know, so we can't just, put a new parking lot in or something like that. It has to be something.
Can't be a jumbotron.
Yeah, probably not. Unless it plays fitness videos, I don't know. Maybe there's a loophole.
Morning yoga sessions.
Right. So just keep that in mind. Jaguar, as you know and can see, physically, that they're in town. It's their second week. We had a few hiccups when they were hand digging. They managed to hit a few service gas lines, so probably maybe help the fire department budget there a little bit, maybe. But other than that, I think it's gone pretty well. They hope to be done by the end of next week. And they hope to actually even be starting service within the month too.
Nice.
So they're really trying to get the fiber in, and but they did tell me that it may only be certain parts of town at first, so telling me to tell everybody to be patient, but they are looking to get that all done and in and going, you know, by this winter. So far everything's on schedule, so. And then just in the pamphlets too is kind of a map, so maybe I'll put that on the website, so if the people are just curious where all the little boxes and things are going, because I know that's one of the biggest questions I've gotten asked, so. Yeah. So I'll make note of that and put that on there so people can.
Any questions for staff? No, we got to work. 2019 city building repairs.
All right, so the biggest thing is, it's been fun, but I'm thankful that Jason's helped me go through this. Your agenda. It's just easier than trying to go through here. Sorry. So I've gotten two proposals. We're going back and forth with making sure this gets done commercially. So, when was that? Jason, when did we, we met with MinSpec?
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago. The nice thing is we found there's footings there, so we can take that cost out. Dan Elke's proposal didn't have footings built in there. And then Mike Tracy, he had 1,200 in there. But, I sent the information to Dan because one of our concerns was to make sure that it meets commercial code. So he got an estimate back to me, you know, basically what he was looking at. And basically he's looking at total front and back steps, 14,000. But my concern is, and he says it's only additional 250, but I'm pretty sure the back steps are going to have to be 42 inches for the railings too. So that would add an additional 250. So Dan Elfke is at about 14,267, and Mike Tracy's bid is 24,320 minus the 1,200 because we won't have the demolition of our weight footings is 1,600, so minus 1,600 for footings. So one of the things I did is kind of try to send information out to Dan Elfke to make sure I got the code from MinSpec, so he reviewed that and then did his bid based on what I had sent him with the commercial code. So
also on the second proposal, what did we have budget again, Jeremy, for this?
11,000, so we're a little over, and I think that's because we're getting into the commercial grade versus residential, so that's why all of a sudden now bumps cost up quite a bit.
Are we going to do everything at once, or we were talking about next year doing the back?
Right.
So are we looking, both these bids are to do both, right?
Correct. Yep.
And we would just, if we approved one of them, we would be just looking just to do the front this year and then the back next year?
I would think so. I mean, also season's getting on here, you know, which is kind of a concern with rentals with fall. You know, last thing I want is half done project. Not when we're gonna rental. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're you know, like I said, we're about $3,500 short.
For the front steps our budget won't cover it either, right?
I think it will, yeah. I mean, I can have Dan break it down, but as you can see, it's quite a bit cheaper, but
do the back step next year.
Yeah, and then we can figure out the difference. And
we got the money.
Yep. And then get them done right away in spring.
Any other questions? Otherwise, I look for a motion to award the bid.
Make a motion to award the bid to Dan Elfke.
Second.
Moving seconded to award Dan Elke the bid for the stairs. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Pass, let him know.
Good. I was gonna ask you for a meeting, but, so next thing got is proposed budget. So, that time of year again, so I'd look to have one more budget meeting. I know the Lions, they have something next Tuesday. You know what time that is?
It's Monday.
Oh, no, there's a, since we're, since our, we have the district governor in our zone, there's a special midwinter convention.
Okay.
You don't have to leave it. I'll say it's at 7 o'clock, is that?
Yeah.
So does a Wednesday work? Next Wednesday?
Wednesday, the 19th.
19th.
If that works, then. Person. I'm good.
So Wednesday, the 19th?
Wednesday, the 19th at 7?
For a budget? So if it works for everybody, I'll entertain a motion to have that. Moving seconded to hold the budget workshop meeting September 19th at 7 o'clock. All in favor? Opposed? Get a budget hat on.
Good.
Okay, we'll move on to new city business. Solicitor's permit for Jason Kirschner.
I believe that's for Edward Jones. So it'd be for financial services.
Everything get cleared? There wasn't any issues, right?
No issues.
Also?
What's he proposing to do?
Just so you can walk around and have those.
For financial services, investments mainly, and that's.
Which is the reason I would be.
Don't you come down here.
It's good for all that pigeon stuff.
Yeah.
So, I look for a motion, on that solicitor's permit. Or not.
I move to approve the solicitor permit for Jason Kirschner.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moving seconded to approve the solicitor's permit for Jason Kirschner. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I have some. That's my question. Otherwise, I wouldn't. All right, next piece of business.
See, Isla's here. Isla's here. Isla's here for the planning. She can get to the conference.
Oh, okay. Okay, planning and zoning administration services.
So basically, just to fill you in, I think I've kind of filled the council in before that Dean Johnson will be basically as retired now, who's our planner. So we have to look at new services. So I'm with talking to Dean, and I've talked to Hyla, who Hyla's worked with us on our comp plan. So Bolton and Mink put a proposal together, and also got kind of some estimates on costs from SEH for their services. So basically, if you look at Bolton and Mink's structure, they kind of do a special fees and services. And, well, maybe Hyla can help me here. I'm trying to find it now. Was it like around $85 an hour? For, yeah, if you would, that'd be great. Sure, yeah.
Great. I have been working, of course, with Dean the past couple of years on your comp plan, and really maybe yes to go. And just so we work with a number of other small towns in current planning services that are similar to this. Our model is different than Dean. It's not a one-man shop. There's a team of us. I'm having a lead role in this proposal. A couple other planners that work with this, introduced to here, Alex Kazinius, who has about 10 years of experience and does mostly this type of work, and Sarah, and we have a couple other planners on the staff. And then the reason to have a larger team is so that one, to make sure that all the meetings are covered, and two, we know that a lot of committees are cost sensitive, so we're not going to have a high cost person doing work that a person could do at a lower cost. Also, built into the structure is we have a sort of a baseline rate for months. We just don't have a lot of planning work, because we know that sometimes there are months that there's not a lot going on. So the first 10 months of regular work occurred. I'm sure I've opened to the right page here. The first 10 months of general planning services will be billed at a reduced rate of 8 bucks an hour. Beyond that, it goes up to whatever baseline regular person working on. Alex's regular rate is 98, and it's 35. Our lower level staff's closer to 70. So we're going to make sure it's the right person and try to provide services in a cost effective way. For services that are project specific that are billed through to the person who's applying, those would be done at regular rates because this is because it has to obligation. Again, that's kind of the structure. I don't know we provide general range of services, but being there other consultants provide. We pride ourselves in long-term commitment committees. We work in this, we do a lot of work in this county and a lot of different committees, so we'd love to work with you on an ongoing basis.
Well, I think that's kind of the basis, you know, because there, you know, we're looking at, you know, roughly around 80 bucks an hour, I think, for, you know, most items I think we probably deal with. If you look at what SEH was proposing, we were looking at, you know, 180 an hour and 96 an hour, a lot higher, so.
Council thoughts, any questions?
And you get into another planning consultant services, and you're looking around 100 bucks an hour. So, I mean, the thing I like, I have nothing against SEH, but kind of something Dean passed along to me is by having someone else come in and do some work too, you get a second opinion.
Competition, you know, is good.
Yeah, it is.
Any additional questions the council has, or staff were looking for acceptance of one or the other?
Correct. I have no issues with working with Bolton and Mink, and kind of, to be honest, there have been a few questions that's come up, and Hyla's been nice enough to, you know, help address them.
Is this a contract for a year or how long?
That would be typical. An annual contract. We would have a discussion at the end of the year if you want to renew it or. I should note one thing I wanted to call it to, mentioning this will obviously be a little transition as we're getting, can't claim to be like Dean. We have 20 years of member of knowledge in our heads and in our fingers.
Right,
so
right.
We will cover some time and spent sitting in the city and talking through things and to be able to speak, make sure we do things the way we do things. So, and that will be on us. That's an additional part of this.
And I think this will actually be a good transition because I think, too, what we're looking to do, Hyla, is kind of upgrade our ordinances, too.
Yes.
Next year, so it's kind of a perfect time to make a change.
Any other questions, Council? Otherwise,
should we motion to it? I'm going to go with Bolton and Mink. The next contract.
So moving second to go with Bolton and Mink for our planning and zoning administration services. Any further discussion? All in favor? Oppose?
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Hyla.
Second meeting in September.
Yeah, so just basically looking for a motion to hold our second meeting in September, which basically will be for setting our final proposed budget.
For a motion to do that.
Make a motion for a second meeting on September 25th.
Yeah. Moved and seconded to hold a second meeting on September 25th. We express interest in setting our proposed levy. All in favor? Opposed? All right, we've got two more meetings this month.
Another 7 o'clock.
Yes.
All right, move on then to city council reports.
We could add budget workshop.
Yeah. I want that. Councilman Buckentine. Councilman Tracy.
Same here, nothing.
Councilman Feltman. Councilman Fetch. Only thing I have a couple of things. There's a League of Minnesota Cities events and training coming up on November 8th.
Where is it?
It's an event that Jeremy and I and Councilman Trevish have gone to in the past. It's an afternoon of just information about how city council run. Last time we were there, they showed was it Lionel Lakes, was it? Some council that was very dysfunctional.
And they kind of mocked it.
It's a good opportunity to go to see what other cities are doing, as well as to kind of get some industry best things. There's cities there, or represented there, from big cities all the way down to cities our size. So I would encourage if everybody can make it, to go to it. If not, I mean, whoever goes can do a report out on it as well. Brooklyn, Parker, Brooklyn.
Convention.
Yeah. So, I think almost everybody, does everybody get the League of Minnesota Cities emails? I mean, I know the carrier pigeon probably has to bring it to you, but. But yeah, just check it out. If you can, let Jeremy know, and then you can get those who can attend to sign up. I want to say it's...
I'll get the definite dates and all.
Yeah, it's the end of November, if I remember right.
Is that something I could go through?
Yeah.
And even like if Greg wants to go, I think we probably can get the benefit there as well. This Friday is normally mayor's in time, but I won't be in town. I'll be, provided the hurricane doesn't do too much damage to the East Coast, I'll be in Atlanta. So starting in October, I will be moving the dates of that time frame. So I'm gonna move it off of a morning on Friday, and I haven't decided which evening I'm gonna pick going forward. There have been a few people that have asked me if I was open to changing the time frame in that, so maybe more response could be given or be able to use that time. The original reason I picked the 8 to 10 in the morning was because staff would be here, the city's open, so in case if there was something that I had to defer to the staff, I could do that. But there have been enough people that say, well, how about if you do it like 6 to 8 on a Wednesday night or a Tuesday night? And that is, I'm open to that. So I got to look at my schedule and see for the rest of the year which night makes the most sense. And what likely the way I'm leaning right now will probably be the first Tuesday of every month. So this is before a council meeting. So people can come in and talk, and we might have additional items on the council.
And then give us a little time if we need to research them. Yeah, shoot us them dates, and then we can just maybe do on notes on the city website, mayor's in, and they can open it up, and then I'll have the dates.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
And that is all I have. There's nothing else for the good of the city, or nobody else has anything in the public that they want to say. I look for a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Go for it. Is there a second? Second. Moved and seconded to adjourn the Hamburg City Council meeting on September 11, 2018 at 8:14. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.